Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, friend, old Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Going In Raw Matt Chat. The show fueled, powered by $20 and up patrons. That's right, at patreon.com/Steven Larson for $20 a month. I know it seems like a steep price, but if you want your video question here on Matt Chat, you could be one of the lucky few.
Well, they don't.
They're not lucky.
Just that for $20. They get so much more.
I don't know where the Friendo care package is. I've been meaning to make like a little video for the Friendo.
Oh, yeah. There's a comic book. There's a print. There's some stickers. There's postcards signed by us.
These stickers right here.
But really, the comic book is the main event of the whole presentation.
The piece de la raison.
Yeah, it's a new Steven Larson adventure that can only be told in the pages of a comic book.
Unless you have like a $300 million budget
that
for a
feature probably won't
film.
Even suffice, man.
Probably not.
There's a giant frog wearing a diaper in it. That alone will cost $100 million.
That alone right there. I mean, if Henry Cavill's mustache costs $25 million for DC to erase... Giant frog and diaper would be at least $100 million.
Yeah, at least
per frame.
Yeah.
Anyways, So Patreon, you can say that's where we get these video questions from, our amazing friendos who support Going In Raw, and in turn they can put their questions up here on Matt Chat.
Correct.
And of course we are available now not only on fantastic podcast apps, we're on Spotify. Whoa!
Took more than a year.
About a year. Almost killed me.
About a year, but we finally made it onto Spotify.
Remarkably easy process once our podcast server just offered it up to us. You want me on Spotify? Yeah, a year ago.
Sure.
Well, how about now? Sure, that too.
That'll do.
That's good. Anyways, we got a bunch of great questions for some,
we do.
Some great friendos. A couple new friendos today. But first up, oh boy. Oh dear, we saw this guy at the Virgil Flynn III Productions.
Tough Love.
Wrestling event, Tough Love. He wrestled against, and he fought, and he beat.
Yes.
Mechawolf 450.
Yes. His name, of course, talking about
Adam Mayhem.
Adam Mayhem. Let's see what he has to say.
What a start, this friend of university. Bienvenidos to another edition of Chit Chat with a Champ. All right. Steven Larson. Question. Real quick. Real simple. But not real simple. Over the last 5 years, who has been the most influential wrestler in the world? Simple as that. See you guys.
Thank you, Adam Mayhem.
Thank you.
I mean, I guess, look, we both know the answer to this question. The most influential wrestler over the past five years in the world has been Adam Mayhem.
True.
But let's take him out of the equation since he's the one asking the question.
Let's.
The answer is the real rock and roll of Finn Balor. Now, he might not be the most obvious answer. However, what I look at with Finn Balor is the path that he took to get where he is today. Started on the indies, landed in New Japan, was a huge name in the junior division there, competed against Okada for the heavyweight title, found his way to NXT.
Hold on. You forgot a huge part of the whole.
Oh, founded Bullet Club.
He was real.
They were real.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that thing. Came over to NXT, dominated there, was a huge star, longest reigning champion ever in NXT. Landed immediately in the main event spot when he was drafted to Raw. Immediately got the Universal title. Unfortunately, during that match, of course, he was injured. And he's kind of still finding his way back amongst all the clutter of the main event scene on Raw. But as recently as Ricochet, a while ago, he was asked, what route do you want to take? Or how would you like your career in WWE to go? And he mentioned Finn Balor. I want to go the Finn Balor route. I think a lot of people want to go the Finn Balor route. I think he sort of set a certain template that especially wrestlers... You know, he obviously probably could be eligible for 205 Live, but he competes with all the big men and on the regular roster. I think a lot of people would really want to go his route. You look at what Bullet Club has done since he invented it, since he founded it, and it's hard to name another wrestler besides Finn Balor who's been as influential in terms of his career trajectory, his growth as a wrestler, people look at him and say, you know, you can be, how tall is he? Like 5'10"?
Yeah.
Right. You could be his size. You can, you know, I mean, obviously the dude's got tons of charisma and that's something that you can't really concoct, but they can still look at him and say, that's a path that I totally want to go on. I think a lot of wrestlers are doing that these days, or they aim to do that these days. So my choice is Finn Balor.
I'm happy you mentioned Bullet Club. I'm happy you mentioned a path, because I'm going to mention two other Bullet Club members who I think are the most influential. Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks.
There you go.
They chose a vastly different path for themselves. Granted, they did have a WWE tryout, I think, in 2012 or 2011. Mm-hmm. Didn't go well for them. But since then, especially since they left TNA, they have forged their own path and have made the case that wrestlers don't need to go to the WWE to be financially successful, or successful within the wrestling industry. And I think right now they are kind of the template I think a lot of independent wrestlers are following in an attempt to gain financial independence while not being associated with WWE. I mean, Young Bucks consistently, top sellers on pro wrestling tees. Their shirts are in Hot Topics across the country. Put them on the card, house sells out, mm-hmm. guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And that's not even taking into account their in-ring work, which has been remarkable. They have managed to fuse a variety of influences into their style, not just in terms of technical wrestling, high spots, referencing Dave Meltzer is one of their moves, Meltzer driver. And they've really kind of they've managed to find a way to heighten the kind of inherent cheesiness of wrestling and revel in it,
mm-hmm.
and make it really over the top, but it's not off-putting. It's right. engaging because they're charismatic guys and they're really good at what they do.
Yeah.
You know, all the suck it and the two sweets, all that stuff. That's the ridiculousness of pro wrestling. That's part of what we love about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they just revel in it. Lately, they've grown as competitors. Their matches these days, especially the ones against Roppongi Vice, Roppongi 3K, entirely focused on storytelling. Yeah, they still do their spots, but it's all in the service of telling a great story. They're constantly evolving. But more than anything, they've shown a way for independent wrestlers around the world to make a living without having to worry about the WWE at all.
Mm-hmm.
Hugely influential.
Yeah,
look at Cody Rhodes. He left WWE, joined up with those elite guys.
Yeah.
Best year he ever had was 2017.
Yeah.
By his own word. Yeah, it's the Young Bucks. Okay. Also, you got mentioned being the elite.
Yeah.
Growing their brand on YouTube.
Well, that's been one of the bigger things. I mean, you know, they're a great answer. And I think that's one of the bigger aspects of them is exactly that, is finding...
They're finding ways to monetize and grow their brand without necessarily doing it exclusively in a wrestling ring.
Exactly, yeah. That's exactly right. And you see a lot of wrestlers, especially right now, following that template exactly. I mean, Twitter has completely blown up. YouTube is completely blown up for these wrestlers who are finding, like you said, yet another revenue stream,
mm-hmm.
And then linking all that stuff to like their pro wrestling tee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it is. They're absolutely, especially on the independent scene, how to make it without the WWE. They've been a major force for that. Other names we could throw out there, like
I thought Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan was. I was about to say that. I mean, he's going back a little bit.
But when he first, you know, it was his.
But you can look at his career as well,
yeah.
And be like, okay, he was one of the, he was in the class that sort of started that whole thing, like build your time in the indies,
yeah.
Build the big name for yourself, and then come over.
But also when the Yes Movement was at its peak, that was 2014. That was in the 5-year window of Bad Behavior's question.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think his wrestling style,
mm-hmm.
Has been hugely influential.
And he's smaller also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So good answers for everybody. Next up, we've got our friendo Xander McIntosh with a question. Let's see what he has to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Disrespectful Xander McIntosh here, and Sasha and Bayley. So Sasha has been working heel a little bit, and Bayley is apparently being planned to turn heel. But my question is, who would benefit from it more, Sasha or Bayley? Thanks, friendos.
Thank you, Xander. So, yeah, it seems like Sasha might be on the verge of turning heel. We've heard rumors of Bayley possibly turning heel. Who could benefit from more? I mean, I'd probably say Sasha, but after further consideration, I'm going to go with Bayley.
Okay.
As far as I know, during her time at WWE, I could be completely wrong about this. I didn't watch a lot of early NXT. As far as I know, Bayley's been a face the entire time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she has been.
And NXT, she was hugely over.
Mm-hmm.
Since she got called to main, her creative has been largely bungled. Maybe they're kind of they're right in the ship right now. She's got some momentum going, especially after defeating Sasha on Raw this last week. But if anybody needs a refresh in the women's division, especially on Raw, it's her. Mm-hmm. Something needs to change for her, whether it's getting creative right finally or turning heel. She's spoken in the past, I think recently too, on Stone Cold's podcast about being really, first of all, being really frustrated with her creative.
Yeah.
And two, entertaining the notion of turning heel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly how they would go about doing it because, I mean, Bayley, the character Bayley, is so beloved in the WWE universe. I worry if they did it, it would fall flat on its face because people just want to like Bayley.
Yeah.
She just seems like an inherently likable person. So they have to do something really drastic. Nonetheless, I think it would benefit her if they found a way to turn her heel that was effective and believable. She could ride that momentum, give her some good booking, some good creative. She could follow the formula we mentioned several times, countless times. You're a heel. You get so you're good enough heel that people enjoy your work and appreciate your work as a heel. You're entertaining enough as a heel. A huge face turn follows. I mean, it happens all the time. Happened with The Rock. I can go on and on and on. New Day. Happens all the time. That could be the template for her if they book it right. That's a huge if these days. But right now, I feel like just Bayley needs something different. So turn her heel. She'd benefit enormously.
Problem with what you're suggesting is that Bayley is already on the right path. We've seen over the last 2 weeks. Get back to NXT, Bayley. You're good to go. I think that she's the one person who kind of, look, she's the one person who I think the math is against them when it comes to be a heel, do really good as a heel, people will want you as a face. I don't think that she's believable as a heel. However, the one person who is very believable as a heel and can reach new heights of success is Sasha Banks. All you have to do for both these characters is go back to their NXT roots. And that's what it seems and feels, and I hope that they're doing, is they're taking them back to their NXT roots. Bosses aren't supposed to be lovable. You're not supposed to cheer your boss. You're supposed to hate your boss because your boss is a real son of a bitch. And all you want to do is wreck him, right? Sasha Banks, you should want to wreck her, man. Like, if you're another woman. If you're a man, that's just messed up.
It is.
So, Sasha Banks needs to go back to being a badass boss, a heel, a bad guy. And yeah, I mean, we've seen her do it amazing. Look, the thing about Sasha is that people really, really love her. They love the reckless abandon she shows in the ring. They love her style of working, how she just leaves it all out there. Sometimes it looks like she breaks her neck. Sometimes it looks like she did it on accident. Sometimes it looks like she did it on purpose. I don't know. All I know is this. We've got Asuka, who people will love regardless. We've got Ronda Rousey coming in, who I think they're going to try to be booking as like a big, massive face, which I think is a bad idea. You got Bayley, who I don't think can be turned heel. We need a big-time heel, and that could be Sasha Banks right there. You know how they do it? This is how they do it. Have her join Balor Club. That's how they do it.
Well, Balor Club right now are at most tweeners.
Right now, they are. Have them be assholes.
Okay.
Have them be bad guys, but cool bad guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And then people love her even more because people love cool bad guys.
I agree with everything you're saying about Sasha. She needs to turn heel. Truth be told, honestly, yes. Sasha needs to be the one that turns heel. But I don't think you need her to join Balor Club. I think she showed in NXT that she can be...
Oh, I know, but how cool would it be?
An awesome heel.
It'd be really cool,
without
though.
Without anybody.
Hey, listen. It'd be so cool. Not only would it be cool, it'd be...
It'd be kind of real, yes.
It'd be pretty real.
It'd be kind of real.
It'd be pretty neat. It'd be pretty...
It'd be something different.
My preference would be Nia Jax. Because I saw all sorts of her like Instagram posts of her hanging out with the club, calling Mike Rome a nerd. And it was very charming, and she seemed to be having a good time. So yes. I would actually love to see Nia Jax in the club. That'd be fun. Anyways, we got another question here from Stevie B. No, this isn't me. It's our friendo, Stevie Bradley. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, friendos. It's Stevie B here. Got a question for you from Matt Chat. Rey Mysterio, over the weekend, announced he was going to be at New Japan Strong Style here in Long Beach. Steve, hope you can make it. And that really got me thinking because Rey Mysterio in New Japan sounds awesome. But I'm thinking, what other WWE part-timers or former wrestlers that are now in the independents would you want to see in New Japan? Personally, John Morrison, I would love to see there. All right, guys, hearty handshake and a two sweet.
Thank you, Stevie B.
Thank you, Stevie B. Of course, it wouldn't be me. My last name is Here.
Yeah,
my last name doesn't start with a B.
No, Here doesn't start with a B. No.
Correct. You are correct about that.
Kayfabe, Steve.
Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to say this. I'm going to say Austin Aries.
All right.
Austin Aries, I would love to see him in New Japan. I've actually said in the past that I'm not huge on the idea because he is such a great promo guy. And I just kind of feel like New Japan focuses so much on the character work being told in the ring that like a big promo guy would work better just here in the States where English is like, you know, the main language. That being said, Austin Aries is a world-class wrestler.
Yes.
And so to see him in New Japan, and again, I don't know what stable he'd really fit. I mean, he has to be Bullet Club because he's, you know, from...
Well, if he just pops into New Japan for a couple matches, he doesn't have to join a stable.
Oh, I'd want him to be all in, though. Oh, okay. I'd want him to be all in if he does
all right,
it.
All right, fine.
I'd love to see him in New Japan. I don't know. Yeah, probably Bullet Club, something like that. Yeah, I think he'd be a great addition. He's a fantastic wrestler. He's just amazing, like hugely talented. It'd be Austin Aries. I'll be honest with you. Stevie B's answer, John Morrison, that's actually my number one.
Yeah,
that would be
answer.
Not my number one.
That's
because
a really
talk
good
about
answer.
An amazing wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. You just need to cool him up a little bit.
Yeah.
He's not the cool, like he's kind of cheesy. His gimmick is cheesy. I think it's intentionally that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I'd want him to be a little cooler. Like he would have been a great Switchblade.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Could have been a great Switchblade.
Yeah.
Comes in with like sort of a business. What does he wear? He wears like a leather trench coat type thing.
Yeah.
That'd have been kind of cool. But like his hair, not as poofy 70s-ish.
Yeah.
You know?
Or 80s.
I mean, you look at the work John Morrison did he's done. I don't know if he's still there in AAA. He's like a champion a couple times over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Just does incredibly work. Like his, I only saw the match at Triple Mania. It was like a triple threat with a couple other guys. I don't know who they are. It was blood everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So my number one answer would be him, but barring him, because Stevie Bradley already said him,
yeah.
It'd be Austin Aries.
A double.
Double A.
If he is confirmed gone from WWE, my number one answer would be Neville.
Neville. His contract is kind of froze up. It's frozen right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere anytime
no,
soon.
He's
locked in a deal he doesn't want to be in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say my answer would be someone I know is a free agent, and that is Bobby Lashley.
Oh, great answer.
It is a great answer. Now, we've been hearing that he's being wooed by both WWE and New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Last we heard that he's leaning towards WWE. I say, don't do it, Bobby.
Don't do it, Bobby.
Don't do it, Bobby.
Don't do it, Bobby.
I know there might be an opportunity at the top of the card, especially on Raw, if Brock Lesnar does leave. There's going to be a huge void there at the top of the card,
mm-hmm.
which I think Lashley could fill very well.
Yeah.
That being said, there's so many dream matches I want to see between him and wrestlers in New Japan.
Oh, for sure.
Between that and his MMA background,
mm-hmm.
which would fit into the strong style ethos of New Japan.
Sure.
I want to see that. I want to see Bobby Lashley versus Okada. Versus Kenny Omega.
Oh, yeah.
Versus Tanahashi.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, oh, man, Minoru Suzuki.
Who wouldn't want to see that?
I want to see that every event.
Every event.
For an entire calendar year.
Okay.
Start at Wrestle Kingdom, go all the way to King of Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. New Beginnings Day 1, New Beginnings Day 2.
Road New Beginning, every show.
Road
No tag matches between them.
Yeah.
Just one-on-one matches. They can do it differently enough every time out.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes, even. There's just so many feuds that I'd like to see between Lashley and wrestlers in New Japan, I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley, please come to New Japan.
Bobby, come on, just do it, Bobby.
Please.
Bobby, listen.
I mean, it'd be great if you came to WWE, but please go to New Japan.
Be new, okay? Just be new. Do something new. You've been to WWE, be new. He's got that headband on. You know what? Do something new. Put a little glowy thing on your head. So I'm going to watch Looper this weekend.
For how many times have you seen that movie?
I've seen it so many times.
You've seen a lot.
It's one of my comfort films.
You know, there's a lot of other movies out there you could be watching.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Name one. Wrath of Khan.
Oh, I've seen that a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back.
I've seen that many, many times. You're just naming movies. You know for a fact I've
Boogie
seen
Nights.
It. I have seen that an ungodly number of times. You're just listing off movies that you know I've seen.
Hard Day's Night.
Yes, I've seen that so many times.
The Graduate?
You're just listing off literally my favorite movies right now. Pulp Fiction, throw that out there.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Pulp Fiction.
Seen that a million times.
Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, seen that a lot.
Have you seen Brick?
Yeah, I have. I like Brick.
Yeah, Brick's good. Have you seen Brothers Bloom?
No, I haven't. Was that good?
Haven't seen either.
Interesting. Maybe, well, you should come by. Bring some Five Guys.
We'll see.
We'll watch that. We'll watch.
If I'm not sick in bed over the weekend, then maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, stay home. Next up, the undisputed king himself, Jason King. Welcome to Matt Chat. What's your question?
Hey, friendos. This is Jason Undisputed King here with a Matt Chat question for you. Now, in today's Matt Chat, we have a fantasy booking scenario. WWE pulls a deal of the century and gets not only the rights to borrow the Bullet Club name, but also some of the members. So you have the Elite teaming with AJ Styles on SmackDown, Balor Club, faction of Bullet Club in Raw, and Undisputed Era's faction of Bullet Club down in NXT. Now, the nice thing is, with this fantasy booking scenario, however you want to get to that point, all three teams kind of come together, form one mega faction that show up on all three brands. Good idea, bad idea. I will let you two choose which one you want to go with. Thanks, friendos, and too sweet.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Undisputed King. You call it, refer to him as King.
I said
King Jason.
I said, okay, sorry.
Anyway,
I go first.
What's
so,
his question?
Bullet Club, WWE. So he proposes the Elite joins up with AJ on SmackDown. You got Balor Club, that division of Bullet Club on Raw. Undisputed Era would be NXT's division of Bullet Club. I think it's too much.
Wow.
Keep Bullet Club in New Japan.
You say bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Just Bullet Club at this point is so synonymous with New Japan.
Yeah, sure.
And yeah, they're seemingly tearing it apart right now, but I'm sure there's a grander purpose to the story that'll build it up even more massive than it ever was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bullet Club shirts are in hot topics across the country.
Yeah.
I mean, just there's no way that New Japan's ever going to license that IP.
That's definitely
WWE.
True. Definitely true.
That proposition right out the window. Ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
More than having these three factions aligned together, I like to see them feud with each other.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I want to see Kenny versus AJ versus Finn. I want to see all the past leaders of Bullet Club fight.
Okay.
I don't want to see them banded together. I want competition.
All right.
That's what I want to see.
Okay. Well, let's take this because I'm with you. I'm on the same page. Okay. Do I think Bullet Club coming to? I'll put it this way: the Elite show up, Balor Club on Raw, Undisputed Era on NXT. Yes, give me all that talent. Do they need to be dubbed Bullet Club? No, because you're right. It's a New Japan thing. So we got Balor Club. What would we call them on SmackDown? If the Elite showed up.
Let's call them the Elite.
Just call them the Elite. That's right.
Just license the name from the Elite.
And then Undisputed on NXT and then have them all fight. That'd be great.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to see them wrestle.
Yeah. That'd be good. I like that a lot.
There's a lot of great matches you're not providing for yourself or the world by banding them all together.
Yeah.
Make them all fight.
Yeah, dude.
That's where the excitement is. I mean, it'd be cool. You get a good pop. You have Bullet Club across three brands and, you know, they come together and have that great moment. We're all together in the ring and posing and stuff and doing this and throwing up two sweets. At the same time, though, I want to see them all wrestle.
Yeah, I want to fight. Yeah,
I want to see all those matches.
I'm not here to see people hug.
No, I want to see them wrestle. I want to see Reed Dragon versus the Young Bucks versus the Club. I want to see these matches.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Give me those matches. Yeah. I'd rather have a year-long feud between all three of them than that one moment.
How about
posing
this
together in the ring?
They're all in the ring, and they're all staring each other down like, oh, we're all gangs, right? We're all our own factions. We all have shared history. And then music kicks in, lights go down. The Gorillas of Destiny show up. It's Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, Louie Tonga, Chase Owens,
all right,
Bad Luck Fale,
okay,
and the Tokyo Pimp,
all right.
But he'd have to be like the Tokyo. He can't be a pimp. That's sex trafficking. Is not good.
No,
so
it's not cool.
Be something else.
Yeah,
the Tokyo Godfather.
All right.
Yeah, be good. And they come in, they fight.
Oh, and everybody fights.
Then everybody fights.
Okay. Where does Cody come into play?
He comes back, but he's Stardust.
All right. What about Marty Scurll?
Vince just to spite him. Yes, Stardust! Marty Scurll, yeah, he's with the Elite.
All right.
Yeah, he's with the Elite.
All right.
Yeah. It's good. It's really good. And then Jeff Jarrett comes in.
Oh, dear. He's ruined Bullet Club, the whole thing.
But then they're all taken down by Billy Gunn and Yoshitatsu.
Yeah. Bullet Club Hunter.
Correct. Continuing on, our good friend A.O. Worm is back with another question. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? It's your boy A.O. Worm. I'm back with another video question. So throughout different promotions, there are certain wrestlers that kind of favor each other. Like, for example, in Ring of Honor, Punishment Martinez reminds me a little bit of Baron Corbin or what he should be as his character in WWE. So my question is, what wrestlers in different organizations kind of favor each other in WWE? If that kind of makes sense to you guys. All right, take it easy.
Thank you, A.O. Worm.
Thank you, A.O. Worm. Now, I did not know that the word favor can actually mean bearing a physical resemblance to. So his question is, of course, who? Because we watched it, we're like, favor, what does that mean? Maybe it's like a regional thing. I don't know. But what wrestler outside of WWE reminds you of a guy inside the WWE?
Yes.
Who goes first?
You do.
I go first. Mark Haskins literally looks in the face like CM Punk.
Yeah.
He looks like CM Punk.
Yeah, there's a lot of resemblance there.
I know. It's like a little, I'm not going to say tiny, but there's a smaller version of CM Punk. There you go.
That's your answer?
That's my answer.
In terms
not
of
a lot of depth there.
In terms of gimmick, the most obvious resemblance I see between someone in WWE and someone outside of WWE is John Cena.
Oh, wow.
Hustle, loyalty, respect.
Yeah, sure.
And then you got Hiroshi Tanahashi, New Japan, love and energy. Their career arcs match up really well. They got into the business roughly the same time. Mm-hmm. They are amongst the most decorated champions in respective promotions.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they've been top stars, aces of their respective companies for so long, putting on, well, at least in Tanahashi's case, stellar matches on a consistent basis. Let's say Cena's a bad wrestler. He's not. He's put on a fair share of really good matches.
Cena can put on great matches, yeah.
But Tanahashi has a history of five-star matches. But just in terms of the general idea of their gimmick, positivity, sharing that positivity.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty strong resemblance between those two wrestlers across different companies.
Yeah. No, I agree with that completely. That's a good one. But Mark Haskins really looks like
he looks a lot
literally
like
looks like
CM Punk.
Like
he looks
Punk.
A lot like CM Punk.
Face,
yes.
Yeah. Now, next up, oh man, the beekeeper himself, Patrick Sparks. Let's see what sparks he's going to provide to our program today.
Hey, friendos, Pat here. So, fantasy booking time. We got the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla, Chris Jericho, versus the real Rock and Rolla, Finn Balor, Prince Devitt, whatever. Where does this match take place and what promotion? Any promotion? What's the storyline? And who goes over and why? Thanks, Randos.
Thank you, Patrick. No bees this time.
Bees.
No bees. It's good.
No bees.
No bees. You go first.
Okay. Jericho versus Balor. This is what I'd like to see. Look, we saw Jericho put on the match of his career in New Japan. Keep it in New Japan. Balor finishes up a very successful run in WWE, wants to take some time and go back to Japan and see some of the exciting things happening there. Maybe he can mix it up with his old Bullet Club friendos. In any event, yeah, exactly doing that. In any event, he re-redubs himself Prince Devitt. The real rock and roller. And who also wants to claim to be a real rock and roller because he's in a rock and roll band? Chris Jericho, the Alpha. So you have Chris Jericho, you got the real rock and roller, and then they battle not just for wrestling supremacy, but musical supremacy. I know that rock and roll is like a British term, I think, or for like badass, I think,
yeah,
is what a rock and roll is. But still, Jericho can say, "You are not a rock and roller."
Yeah.
And Balor will say, "I'm real." And then they can fight, and they'll have the best match of their careers.
Who wins?
Devitt.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because Jericho's around is like put people over now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Or they'll do a series.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do a series.
Okay.
The United States Championship. Jericho wins it finally. And Devitt takes it back.
All right.
And then he wins the third one too.
Yeah, I can't give the same answer, so I have to give a different answer. And it's going to be in WWE.
Okay.
Because that's where Finn is now.
True. He seems to be having a good time.
Yeah, I don't see him go anywhere anytime soon.
Me neither.
Jericho just does what he wants to do. Whatever he sounds like fun for him, he will go.
Oh, he does. It's the best life now.
So if he thinks going to WWE and having a series, I agree with that, a series of matches with Finn Balor is in his best interest, something that he wants to do, something that sounds like a good time, he will go and do that.
That's what he's going
to
do.
The premise, you can even do the same thing. You can have Finn Balor call himself, this is what I want to have happen.
Okay.
Jericho comes in. They have a feud. Jericho wins the first match. That's what finally turns Finn into Prince Devitt.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, they'll still call him Finn, but character-wise,
yeah.
Prince Devitt, you know?
Yeah, Prince Devitt, that guy.
And he can start calling himself Real Rock and Roller again.
Okay, I like it.
And then Jericho, he can go up to Jericho and says, "You're not real. I'm the real Rock and Roller." Because Jericho called himself the Ayatollah of Rock and Roller.
Oh, yeah.
So there's in and
I like Patrick, that Finn Balor's promo was just Baron Corbin-esque. Hey, you're not
real. Well, I wasn't doing an impression.
Yeah, okay.
Patrick Sparks mentioned that as maybe a genesis or the catalyst for their feud.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a series. Jericho wins the first one. Balor wins the second one. Balor wins the rubber match. Mm-hmm. He is real.
All right, it's good. So in any event, Balor goes over.
Yeah.
All right, good.
But Jericho wins the first match.
Next up, Daryl the Cat Takahashi has a question about New Japan versus WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what he has to say.
What's good, Stephen Larson, many friends out there. It's the Cat, Daryl Takahashi. My question for Matt Chat this week is, throughout wrestling history, the two weight divisions that have been some of the most exciting divisions are the junior heavyweights in New Japan Pro Wrestling and the cruiserweights in WCW and WWE. So my question is, taking all the history, what division is better, the junior heavyweights in New Japan Pro Wrestling or the cruiserweights in WCW and WWE? Thanks, boys.
Thank you, the Cat. Oh, I go first.
Yeah, you can go first.
I mean, if we're talking right now and strictly right now,
yeah.
I mean, there's no argument to be made here. New Japan's junior division is better.
They let them wrestle.
I know.
They let them
do whatever. And granted, on 205 Live, they're doing more of that, letting them wrestle.
But they haven't figured out yet.
Not totally. But if you're speaking historically, I think it's more of a toss-up because, as the Cat mentions here, you're not just talking about WWF/WWE's cruiserweights. You're bringing in WCW's cruiserweight division,
mm-hmm.
which is legendary.
Mm-hmm.
You had Rey Mysterio, Chris Jericho, Dean Malenko, Juventud Guerrero,
mm-hmm.
Psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
I can go on and on. The list of fantastic cruiserweights that Bischoff brought in WCW to serve as a foundation of that division. I mean, the documentary about WCW, mm-hmm. they talk endlessly about him bringing the cruiserweights in, Eddie Guerrero,
mm-hmm.
in what, 95, 96, early 97, mm-hmm. and how it was just such a breath of fresh air in comparison to what they're doing in the heavyweight division, which was Hogan beating everybody. We'll get to that later.
Hogan lumbering about, yeah.
Yeah. And the excitement it was generating. Granted, he really didn't really let them do a whole lot more beyond that, but the fact that there was an alternative to the traditional slow plodding wrestling that was the kind of the hallmark of the main event of WCW was great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a while on WCW, you turn it on and to be the NWO, that was cool. And then you watch the cruiserweights because those were night in, night out, the best matches.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're speaking about it in a historical context, I'm not going to necessarily give the edge to WCW and WWE because a lot of those guys went to WWE. Mysterio was a decorated cruiserweight champion as well as a heavyweight champion. Jericho moved the heavyweight division, won a ton of belts. Same with Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie, yeah.
And there was a whole lot of cruiserweight champs in WWE before the current incarnation that were really good too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to declare victory for WCW WWE over New Japan because historically speaking, there's a lot of great junior heavyweights in New Japan. You got Jushin, Thunder Liger, mm-hmm. Tiger Mask, so on and so forth. But I'm not going to declare victory for anybody. It's a toss-up.
Yeah, it's kind of a toss-up.
It's a lot of great wrestling. We should enjoy great wrestling.
Yeah, like you said, now it's really difficult to come. I mean, because right now it's the answer is New Japan right now. You know, even in a year or two, it might go back to being a toss-up. If they continue to let them do what they can do, then absolutely it's going to be on par because
the talent's there.
Because the talent's there. New Japan and WWE, they're pulling from the same places. They're pulling from the indie ranks and Ring of Honor and all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, a little bit from, New Japan's own system, mm-hmm. you know, the Young Lion stuff. But, you know, you look at some of the best work going on. It's Will Ospreay. It's Takahashi. He came up through the Young Lion system.
You still have Kushida there.
Kushida's still there. You got...
they also got Marty Scurll, who does really great character work.
Right, exactly. So you've got, like, so much great talent. You got in the junior tag division, you got Yo and, mm-hmm. and Sho.
Mm-hmm. You still got Taguchi there.
Right, yeah. So you... And just up until very recently, you had Ricochet there.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, there was so much good talent, and the wrestling is so great in the junior division, but it's so well established and WWE is just coming back to the cruiserweights and they're still figuring it out. But you know, the longer they're around and they keep on bringing up this great talent, Leo Rush is about to be huge in 205 Live. Yeah. He's going to be huge.
Buddy Murphy just got called to 205
Murphy,
Live.
He's supposed to be a fantastic wrestler. We're all about to be exposed to what he can do.
Roderick Strong's on 205 Live
Roderick
now, apparently.
Roderick Strong is one of the best wrestlers in Mike. Gargano, one of the best wrestlers on the planet right now.
Yeah, he might end up on 205 Live, too.
Right, exactly. So there is so much to appreciate in what WWE is trying to do right now that I can totally see it being kind of a toss-up, more of a toss-up, a year down the line. It's going to be very exciting to watch 205 Live. Hopefully they don't cancel it if the crowds keep on being dead.
Yeah.
So next up, from Taylor Sexton, let's see what he has to ask.
What it do, Steven Larson and friendos everywhere. I'm so excited to give you my first Matt Chat question. And the one for today is pretty simple. Who buried more talent, Hulk Hogan or Triple H? You have to think that Hulk Hogan has a career of burying entire companies, whereas Triple H still has the book today and can potentially bury more talent. Now, Steve, I want you to argue in favor of Triple H, and Larson, I want you to argue in favor of Hulk Hogan. There's some good articles on Sportster about some of the top talent that they have buried that might be able to help in your argument.
Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you, Taylor, and welcome to the show.
Yes.
And what a great question. I will begin. Triple H. Who is buried more? Okay, here's the thing.
Has anybody really buried more talent than Hogan?
No. This is a question there is no question about. Maybe there is one name.
John Cena.
No, not even. No.
John Cena buried the entire Nexus in one match.
I know, but that's really like the one big example. Just like with Triple H, there's one big example, and that's Booker T. That feud was stupid. Booker T should have gone over in the end.
Oh, yeah.
We all know that.
Oh, yeah.
But if you look at number one, Triple H's WrestleMania track record, it's terrible.
He's tied for the most losses, I think.
Right, exactly. And if you think about The Rock,
or has the most
Stone
losses.
Cold, you think about all the big names back in the day. They were big because Triple H was such a great nemesis for them, putting them over. I mean, he was the consistent guy that was there to put them over.
I think people, when they think Triple H burying people, it's the whole Reign of Terror where he went 3 years without losing and beat everybody. But he lost a lot of matches
too. I know. And if you look at the guys that he really liked, like look at Randy Orton. Massive star. He wasn't buried by Triple H. Triple H basically made him.
Same with Batista.
Batista. Exactly. Yeah. He made him. Look at how great Triple H made Ric Flair look. Now, yes, I know these are all guys that Triple H liked, but still, Randy Orton and Batista were two big, big stars that panned out as being big, big stars. Even back then, Triple H had a very great nose for business. And he's literally creating stars left and right these days.
Yeah.
So I just don't see it. I understand the Reign of Terror thing, and I know he politicked, but dude, that's how you got ahead back then. So he was really good at politicking. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have done the same thing if I was in his position. Yeah, can I go over this guy? Okay, fine. I'm going to do that. So I don't know, man. It's Hogan, though. Hogan.
Hogan would drop the belt to Bret Hart.
I was going to say, and this gets kind of dark, but Moolah. Fabulous Moolah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of really shady stuff going on there in the first place. But then on the other place, like, from what I understand, she made sure everybody like in women's wrestling knew their place under her.
Yeah.
So I kind of think she's probably number one. But in terms of modern, you know, men's wrestling, the heavyweight championships, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's Hogan.
Yeah, he pretty much buried an entire company.
Yes, he did. Are you kidding? The death throes of WCW can be, you know, attributed basically to Hogan not putting new talent over. He was the ceiling.
He didn't even put existing talent over. I go back to the year-long feud against Sting. It's easy.
Yes!
Starrcade 97. Hogan, you wrestle for 12 minutes. You take a nap for 3 seconds on the mat. It's good for the company. It's a good story. It's the conclusion fans want. He's backstage politicking about not losing.
Yeah.
And then he comes up with some way where he wins but doesn't win. And Bret Hart comes out.
And Nick Patrick was supposed to do the fast three count. And Hogan convinced him not to.
Yeah.
So there is no reason for Bret Hart to come out, yet he still did.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's terrible.
Yes, it's absolutely Hulk Hogan.
Go back to WWF. Hogan wouldn't lose to
Bret Hart. Yeah. So, yeah, Yokozuna, all that stuff.
Was a transitional champion for a bit. Yep.
Yeah, dude. No, it was totally Hulk Hogan.
Although Hogan did lose to Goldberg.
And he let Sid kick out of a leg drop.
Yeah, well, that's because someone messed up.
Yeah, he lost to Goldberg. He saw the writing on the wall. There was like, there's some things where you can't stop, but it literally took Goldberg.
Didn't Kidman beat Hogan in WCW?
I think he did, but that was one of those things that was like, oh my God, this is so bizarre.
That was also during Russo's tenure, right?
It was like, yeah, I think it was Russo and Bischoff. They were doing the New Blood thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I remember really liking that because it was like, oh, cool. Hogan's actually going to be doing some jobs, but I don't think really in the end, you know.
He didn't do a whole lot of them.
Jarrett's supposed to go over at the Bash of the Beach thing.
Yeah, and that whole mess. Also, when Hogan got back to WWE, that match against Shawn Michaels, where Shawn Michaels was so frustrated working with him, he just oversold.
Even when he was supposed... He wouldn't let HBK win one match. I think it was proposed as a trilogy or even just a one and one.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lose. You're going to win a match. You're going to win a match.
Yeah.
You can't just drop one.
I know.
To HBK. And what happens? HBK makes you look like a fool.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Get out of here with that. Anyways.
Yeah, Hogan's the answer.
The answer is totally Hogan. Triple H is built far more than he's buried.
Yeah.
I really believe that. So anyways, yeah.
That's the show.
That's Matt Chat. Thank you so much, patrons, for supporting Going In Raw.
Yes.
Sending us your video questions are always so much fun to talk about. And, yeah, till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.